Access more.
Hey there, I'm Christine, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the Equip and Empower podcast. Now, my prayer is that our time together each week encourages you, awakens you to the purposes of God in your life, and activates you to follow Jesus wholeheartedly as you live on mission for Him. I am so grateful that you've joined me today. I believe that God has a word for you, and I believe it is the will of God that you and I live a life that brings Him great glory. Now, our text out of the Gospel of Mark, and I love this, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus says, and calling to the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And this is the word of the Lord. I love this. I love this. Jesus says that if you want to come after me, then this is what it's going to take. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We've already spoken about what it might mean to deny yourself in the midst of a culture that tells you to do anything but deny yourself. Our culture is all about find yourself, affirm yourself, that, you know, you've got to somewhere, it's all about you. We are the culture of self-esteem and self-actualization and self-promotion. And in the midst of that, Jesus says, hey, in the selfie generation, would you be willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross and to follow me? Now, denying self is not something that comes naturally to any of us. But if you and I want to find the life that Jesus has called us to live, then we're going to have to be willing to do that. It says that if you want to find your life, you must be willing to lose it. And if you lose your life, for my sake, at the gospels, you will save it. That's what Jesus says. You go, whoa, you said that 2,000 years ago. Did you know what the world was going to be like in 2021, 2022, 2023? Did you know that we're going to live in this social media culture that's all about the selfie? Jesus, how do you expect me to deny myself? How do you expect me to lose my life? What does it mean to do these things that appear so antithetical to the spirit of the age? You know, in this verse, Jesus is giving us the because truly of choosing to deny ourselves. He knows that deep down, every single one of us, myself and you, we all have a hunger for true life. And we all have a desire to find and live life to the full extent that we were created to live it. You see, it's normal. And it's reasonable to want it. And I believe that Jesus acknowledges this by giving us the key to actually finding what it is that we so desperately desire. You see, we find our life not by trying to take a hold of it ourselves, or by trusting ourselves or taking care of ourselves, but by trusting, depending on, and by obeying God. You see, if we lose our lives by means of giving ourselves away in the cause of Christ, denying ourselves for Him, then we are going to find the contentment and the satisfaction and the inner peace and purpose that we're actually looking for. None of us wants to lose our soul chasing after things that are never, ever going to satisfy us. Jesus gives us the key to saving our soul. And that is to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. You know, another phrase we really don't hear very much is the phrase to take up your cross. Yet the people that were listening to these words of Jesus, the people that were listening to Jesus, knew that the cross was exactly how the Romans executed criminals in these times. See, it was a horrific symbol of pain and shame and death. A person hung on a cross naked until their skeletal structure, it collapsed and they suffocated literally to death without any air and with their body drowning itself in its own fluids. You know, of course, it was on a cross that Jesus Christ himself was crucified. He endured opposition on the cross and shame and suffering and death. And Jesus is not mincing words, not in this text. He's saying, I need you to know that it's going to cost you to follow me. You know, have you noticed, perhaps as I have, that the world is becoming increasingly hostile to people that profess to be followers of Jesus, people that have faith in Jesus? You know, I grew up in Sydney, Australia, which is a very secular nation. There was never a real Christian subculture because, frankly, there just wasn't enough Christians to create one. It's interesting to me that here in North America, there's been a sort of a Judeo-Christian ethic underlying so much of society, but that's been rapidly deteriorating as it has all over the West for decades. And we're now in what people call a post-Christian society. The truth of the matter is it's just not cool to be a Christian. And so many of the prevailing values that are surrounding us in our culture, they're actually very antithetical to biblical truth. Often Jesus' followers are depicted as maybe narrow or bigoted or judgmental or self-righteous or backwards or at the very least deluded. And this text speaks to us in the midst of the world in which we live. In verse 38, I find these words so profound. Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Can I just say that it takes great courage to be a Jesus follower in these days? Taking up our cross means being willing to face opposition and shame and suffering for the cause of the gospel. We've got to be up for it in our workplaces, in our communities, in our schools, in our colleges. That's what it is. You know, this was something we thought missionaries would have to do in foreign lands, but Jesus told us right here on our doorstep, it's something that we're all going to have to choose to do. You might remember Afghanistan, there was just so much turmoil in that nation. I remember receiving a letter from a friend, and in one paragraph it said, "At the moment we are praying desperately for friends on the ground in the house church movement in Afghanistan where the Taliban are coming after all Christians. Their courage is immense. Most expect to meet Jesus face to face in the next 2 weeks. It's a powerful reminder right now of what matters and making every opportunity count for all eternity." I mean, this is where it gets real. This is in real time. I mean, we're worried about perhaps being scoffed or mocked or ridiculed at school or in our workplaces. But the fact is that there are martyrs. People are being martyred for their faith, for being believers of Jesus all over the world right now in the 21st century, in 2022. It is happening in real time. I wonder whether we would be willing to have people just think that we're a little bit weird because we want to be faithful followers of Jesus. I remember once I had the privilege of serving 500 leaders from the underground church in China. I was supposed to be speaking about reaching young people. But when I was listening to their stories of persecution and suffering and opposition and faith, I truly felt so inadequate. I really wondered, do I even know what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ when I'm in the presence of these faithful Christians? You know, they explained to me that they had had no leadership training beyond how to witness to their prison guard on the way to their execution. I remember when my interpreter said this to me, you know, through when these leaders had told him this story, and he told me, I thought I heard it wrong. I asked him to repeat it so that I could hear it right. I was speechless. And I remember just saying, I really don't know why I'm here. You want me to train you. I've got nothing to train you. Whatever that faith is that you've got, I want you to lay hands on me. And I want you to impart that faith to me, the kind of faith that will witness to your prison guard on the way to your execution. I don't even know what that kind of Christianity is. See, they knew what it was to take up their cross and to follow Jesus. I was the one that had so much to learn from these brothers and sisters in Christ. See, it's estimated that 260 million Christians across the globe still face persecution today. It's a very real thing, and it's impacting very real people. The Center for the Study of Global Christianity of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary has estimated that 100,000 Christians die annually for their faith. Now, you and I might not face the prospect of literal death for our faith, but I wonder what it might look like for us to take up our cross daily in our particular context, at work, at school, in our community. I wonder, would we still follow Jesus if it meant losing our closest friends? Would we still follow Jesus if it meant alienation from our families? Would we still follow Jesus if it meant the loss of our reputation? Would we still follow Jesus if we lost the approval of people that we admire? Would we still follow Jesus if it meant being misunderstood? Would we still follow Jesus if people we cared about turned away from him? Would we still follow Jesus if it meant potentially losing our job? Would we still follow Jesus if it meant losing our life? When I held that email from my friend about the Afghanistan church and the believers in the underground church in Afghanistan, I thought, what would I be doing right now in this situation? Would I be anywhere near as courageous as these brothers and sisters? You see, in verse 36 and 37, Jesus says, and he puts it so poignantly, I love it, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Jesus does not give us an answer to this rhetorical question because it's assumed that you and I, that we would know the answer. There is no profit to be made by owning the entire world because it can't save your soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that. The bottom line is, do we believe that Jesus is worthy enough for us to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses and to follow him? Are we willing to be opposed? Are we willing to be shamed? Are we willing to suffer and to die for him and for our allegiance to him? Is Jesus more precious to us than the approval, the honor, and the comfort of this life? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is worthy of our all? You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says, "But I do not account my life of any value, not as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul states that the most precious thing to him is to complete his assignment. He says that from an eternal perspective, his life on this earth is of comparatively no value. Jesus Christ did not come from heaven to earth to die on a cross and rise again from the dead to make our lives safe or comfortable or convenient, but he came to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Paul goes on to say in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." He discovered that the key to finding life is to die to self. Jesus Christ alone is worthy of our all. Jesus calls us to an all-in life. And listen, you cannot be all in if you keep some out. Someone needs to hear that today. You cannot be all in if you keep some out. To truly follow Jesus, we've got to cut off all other options and take up our cross. That's the key to abundant life. To find our life, we must lose it. We can't just spectate at Christian events. We have to have skin in the game. Jesus does not give us any other option. We see that in Scripture, to follow Him is an all-in affair. It's part of our Christian heritage. We have to do this for the next generation. In the Hebrews 11 cloud of witnesses, each one of them had skin in the game. Each one of them died brutal deaths. We see it throughout Scripture. John the Baptist, he had skin in the game and he literally lost his head. Paul had skin in the game and he lost his head too. Stephen had skin in the game and he was literally stoned to death. You know, the apostles clearly had skin in the game. You know, apart from Judas and James, the son of Zebedee, legend has it that Peter was crucified upside down and Andrew was also crucified and that Matthew and Thomas were stabbed to death with swords. James was stoned and clubbed to death. Matthias and Andrew were literally burnt to death. John died of old age, but after he had been cast into boiling oil in Rome. And of course, we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, certainly had skin in the game. He went to the cross and He gave His all for you and for me. He gave it all. And then on the third day, He rose again. And I want to remind you that that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and lives on the inside of me. And so I want to remind you that because we have this same Spirit, we can, by the grace of God, do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. In the 21st century, when many are facing so much animosity, so much resistance to the gospel, when there's persecution of varying degrees just for being a Jesus follower, when it would be so much easier to pull back, it would be so much easier to hide the fact that we're Jesus followers, it would just be so much more comfortable to just go with the cultural flow. Because we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, we can choose to deny ourselves. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We can do it in God's strength. We can choose to take up our cross and follow Him. Jesus Christ alone is worthy of our all. And it's only when we give up our lives that we will truly find life. There is no getting around this. I know some of us think it would have been easier before. Have you read the Bible? Have you read Christian history? It's never been an easy or not costly thing to follow Jesus Christ. It's always been countercultural. It's always been subversive. When you've lived in a Christian bubble or perhaps in a Christendom society or in a Christian subculture, you can think, man, things have just gotten really bad and it's really hard to follow Jesus now. No, what has happened is a lot of our cultural crutches have fallen over. That's not a bad thing. Now, we live this life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're up for the faith adventure. Now we're discovering what abundant life really is. Abundant life isn't a substitute worldly life. Isn't saying, well, I'm just going to have what the world has, but I'm going to put a Christian label on it and that makes it abundant life. No. Abundant life is denying ourselves. It's taking up our cross. It's following Jesus. It's in losing our life that we gain it. That's how we gain our life, by surrendering it all to Jesus. Remember the old hymn, I surrender all. I surrender it all to Jesus. I surrender because He is so worthy. And so we make a decision today. We make that decision to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I wonder whether we would be a generation that would dare to declare that, that says, you know what? I have decided to follow Jesus. And for me, there is no turning back. There is only the cross before me, and there is the world behind me. And I am making a decision to follow Him. And I want to find my life, which means I must lose it. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross, and I will follow Jesus, and I will not turn back. And I wonder whether we would find Him worthy enough to be all in. Because it's one thing to read about the disciples and the martyrs that have gone before us with skin in the game. I wonder whether we would be a generation that's willing to have skin in the game, where we would be a generation of Jesus followers that would dare to be all in. Because we know that it's only when we give our life away that we will find it.
Thanks for listening today. We hope the message has encouraged you. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. For links and more, head to christinecain.com/podcast. We hope to see you again next week, right here for another episode of Equip and Empower.